Hello and welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. This is our 12th episode of season 2 for the episode, I'm forgetting the title, Tremors? Yeah, Tremors. Not the Kevin Bacon Tremors, but the Arrow episode of Tremors. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen, and with me...
Curtis Findlay.
Our special guest host this week, because Amanda is in sunny Mexico.
Well, lucky her.
Sipping drinks by the poolside, and she's posting pictures on her Facebook of it and making everybody jealous.
Oh, yeah.
So she couldn't be here, but you said it when you came in. It's like she's going to be upset that she missed this episode. You picked a good one.
I have to apologize. Sorry, Amanda. I know that after you watch this episode, you'll be like, oh, why can't I talk about this episode? But I'll try and do my best as co-host and hopefully have some interesting conversation.
Yeah, so I mean, we ended up with an episode just totally randomly out of nowhere in the middle of this post-mid-season break. Usually these are the episodes, if you think traditionally, back to like Smallville or Supernatural or a lot of the genre shows that have run on the CW or just TV in general. Those first like 4 or 5 episodes back after the Christmas break tend to be pretty boring, or they'll be kind of like weird B stories that don't have anything to do with anything. They're not connected. But this one, it started that way, kind of connected to season one, and then in the last 10 minutes was just like...
Yeah, total change.
Here's all of the revelations. And that's then the next time on is ridiculous, because next week... We don't have to worry about spoilers. Everybody's seen the next time on.
Okay, I was wondering.
And everybody will have. Hopefully...
I haven't seen the next time on. I didn't watch.
Oh,
that.
You didn't see
it?
No. Oh, okay. Do you? Well, I'm going to spoil it.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Nisa Al Ghul is showing up next week.
Okay.
It's interesting because we had a debate a couple episodes ago about the pronunciation of Ra's Al Ghul versus Ra's Al Ghul.
Oh yeah, I wonder that myself.
Yeah, and previously everybody on the show has referred to him as Ra's al Ghul, including Alawal, who is his like second in command, according to that episode. And then in the preview that they showed, she says Ra'sh.
Oh,
she says,
you know,
Ra's al Ghul.
And that makes me so happy, going way back to my childhood, right?
Yeah.
With Batman, the animated series.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that it was intentional and that they're just trying to keep the debate going, that they know that it's out there and that people say Ra's, people say Ra'sh.
Okay, so wait, in the preview, who said Ra'sh?
Nisa.
Okay, so...
His daughter said
Ra'sh. She would know better than anybody
hopefully.
Her own last name is.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that settles the debate, in my opinion.
Yes, yeah, yeah, it should. Okay, cool. But let's... we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay, yes.
So we should...
Talk
let's
about
reel
the current
it back
episode.
In. Yeah, and talk about this episode. And let's start with an email from Phil Maynard. Who you guys know. Everybody knows Phil because he's on the Facebook group and he's written in a ton.
That's
with
only
emails.
How I know him.
And he wrote in... He commented on a comment that I made on the Facebook group right after watching the episode that he would be sending an email in 10 minutes. So I waited for his email to come in and then I printed it off. And he says, "Hey Mike," and insert guest co-host name here. So Curtis.
Thank you.
"Amazing episode tonight. I haven't emailed for a long time, and I thought I would for this Roy-centered episode. Loved his development. They're taking him an entirely different direction than he goes in the comics. The question is, what will they call him? Obviously, they won't call him Red Hood, because hopefully Jason will show up in the show. Though would be a good reference to Red Hood and the Outlaws. He goes by many names in the comics, so what do you think they will call him? Now that we know more about his character." And that's Phil from Lodi. He says, "P.S. Felicity actually mentioned Scoff. Steven must have told her to say that." I don't know if he did, because I don't know that we mentioned Scoff when we were talking to Steven in the interview. But I didn't catch that, so we'll have to watch for in the playback this time. But
so,
what do you think? So what do you think they're going to call him?
Well, the least ridiculous name... that he's had, I think, would be Arsenal. I think that would be a good name for him. I don't think they're going to call him Speedy.
No. I think they've already used the Speedy thing with Thea, right? Like, that was her childhood nickname, right? So,
that's right. Yeah,
like
I forgot about that.
Season one. Mm-hmm. He called her Speedy earlier this season. almost like as if to
foreshadow this.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then that makes sense why they're working together. That's kind of neat, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I agree with you. I think that it'll be Arsenal. I foresee once he gets his gear, like once he gets officially outfitted by the Team Arrow,
yeah,
as they're not officially but kind of officially called. Once Felicity works up, you know, an outfit for him, and they get that all sorted out, and he's got a red hood, and all that. That they'll be like, well, so what do we call you in the field? We can't just call you Roy. And Felicity will go say something like, well, what are we going to do? We're going to call you Green Arrow and you Red Arrow? Right? And then,
yeah, there will be definitely lines like that.
Yeah, and then they'll say something like, how about Arsenal or something?
I actually like the name that he has in his subject, that Phil put in the subject of his email there.
Hood, with Red Hood?
Hood and Hoodie. Do you see that? The Adventures of Hood and Hoodie. His subject.
Oh, I missed the subject line. Oh, yeah, The Adventures of Hood and Hoodie. Yeah.
I like that. That's clever. Cute. Yep.
Yeah. And the name, for those of you who don't know, Red Hood. Well, Red Hood's a name with a lot of history, more than just Jason Todd. So I highly doubt that they would go that way. I think they'll stay away from that, especially because it's so tied to the Batman stuff.
Yep. You'd see it pop up in the potential Gotham series. More than anything.
I would think so. Yeah, actually, Red Hood would probably be a really great character to bring in there because.
Definitely.
I like it. That's a name that's been taken on by several characters over the course of the Batman mythos. So, although with the new 52...
Who knows? Yeah,
who knows what counts for what. But currently Jason Todd, one of the former Robins, uses the moniker Red Hood. The Joker had used it at one point. And there's debate as to whether or not there was a Red Hood previous to that, I think.
Wasn't it that the Joker, before he became the Joker, took on the Red Hood persona because it was somebody else before that?
Yeah. That's how I understood it. Because there was a Red Hood gangster sort of proto-supervillain before the rest of the supervillains showed up.
But that's...
kind of like there was Grey Ghost before Batman in the Batman animated series.
But they haven't really fleshed that out at all.
No, and now, like I said, with the new 52, who knows if that even still counts, right?
Because
now the Joker is a guy who runs around with
his kind of
skin
messed up.
Peeled off of his face. So, I don't really... I'm not keeping up with the Batman stuff. Since New 52. I'm not really keeping up with anything since New 52.
Yeah, me neither.
Why
do you need to when we have Arrow?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've got Man of Steel and Arrow and hopefully some of these other series will be good. And, my comic reading time is all tied up in Spider-Man right now because of Superior Spider-Man. Yeah. So I was at the comic book store today looking through the previews and looking and just briefly glimpsing through the DC section and seeing absolutely nothing that I have any interest in reading.
Yeah.
With the exception of Smallville Season 11.
Huh.
Written by Brian Q. Miller.
I should check that out.
That's the only thing. The rest of it is just ridiculous. And so, Justice League Canada has a little bit of
a curiosity.
Yeah, there's a novelty there. Especially because they put Adam Strange on the team. So that's,
and it's written by Jeff Lemire. I really like that guy.
Yes,
he's great.
Yeah, his run on Animal Man has been
I've read the only work that I've read of his is Essex County. Have you seen that?
Okay.
A big, thick graphic novel. And it's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's before his superhero days.
The only DC New 52 stuff that I've been keeping current with has been Swamp Thing and Animal Man.
Cool.
Animal Man written by Jeff Lemire and then Swamp Thing by Scott Snyder.
Right.
And they're kind of tied together. Like they're kind of, there's a bit of a crossover element to them. Only because they feel like they're removed from the rest of the New 52. Like if you just sort of ignore some of the things at the very beginning when they first launched the series, you can imagine that it's just part of the old continuity. So I like to read them and pretend like they're part of the old continuity and that the old continuity isn't dead.
That's good.
Let's get right into the episode because there's a lot of cool stuff to cover in this episode. I am hitting play right now. for those of you following along. So we're just in the previously on.
And you know, this was actually the very first time I ever saw an episode of Arrow actually when it aired. And I watched the ECP.
Oh, yeah?
I've always PVR'd it because, you know, I can't watch it when my kids are around. So
yeah.
I watch it after bed or a couple nights later. So this was a kind of new experience.
It's actually Stephen Amell was tweeting along with the West Coast feed.
Oh, cool.
So I caught just the last... I started the episode at 8 o'clock, but because I was skipping through commercials, I kind of beat everybody to the end of the episode. But
what kinds of things did he say? Did he have any good insights?
I haven't really read through them yet.
Okay.
I just sort of caught the tail end of it after I finished watching the episode. But I'm sure that there was some good humor and insight in there. So we're starting on the prison yet again. This seems to be like it's almost like a running theme this season of them starting episodes at the prison to see who's gonna break out this week,
right?
Which is interesting considering he's only got about like five or six rogues in his gallery at the moment, but this guy's being checked in to process, I guess, at the prison, and he set off the metal detector. But clearly something's going on.
How did he get arranged to be in this specific cell? I mean, I can understand purposely getting arrested to get into the prison,
yeah.
But to be in the cell that he wants to be in?
You know, I'm sure that if the guy paying for all of this, the arms dealer guy, if he's got $10 million to pay Bronze Tiger, I'm sure he's got a few thousand to bribe some official at the prison, right?
Right, yep.
It's a prison in a comic book universe, right?
Yeah. Right?
So everybody who works there is corrupt, right?
That's right.
Except for one guy who might become a superhero later or something. But yeah, I'm sure it wasn't that difficult to get that sorted out. But you're right, it is a little bit of a plot hole.
Yeah. So this just makes you squirm right here.
It's a little intense.
Yeah, pretty incredible, though. Like, that's... yeah, man.
It's crazy stuff for them to do at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit on the graphic side.
Well, and they got away. They did some good camera work there
to
play around with that to make it look worse than it actually was. But it's good to see Bronze Tiger again. I like this take on his character. I think it's really, really good.
Yeah. Well, and when you get an actor like Michael Jai White, I think you use him, right?
Yeah.
You don't just leave that arrow in the quiver, as it were. and there we've got the sting, the title, and Roy slapping water.
Oh,
just
yeah.
like
the flashback.
Yeah, just like Oliver season. Did on the island, in order to not to build up strength, but to build up control, right?
And discipline, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and this is the whole thing is it's interesting because Oliver got very like Cliff Notes versions of a lot of this training, I feel like. And so he's trying to pass on his knowledge and
without fully knowing the
knowledge.
Yeah,
and
it's
not quite taking, right?
Yep.
But this is I feel like this is actually really in keeping with the character and with the continuity of Green Arrow and of Oliver Queen. He's had a few different sidekicks over the years. And it's always been a bit of a tenuous relationship, right? With the exception of maybe like the Silver Age, up until Speedy started, you know, shooting.
You know,
her.
Yeah, exactly.
It was more of the Batman and Robin relationship back then, but it was like since sort of like the Infinite Crisis reboot sort of stuff back in the '80s. He's always been kind of, you know, he's almost like a reluctant mentor, and his students always kind of want to go faster than they should.
Yep.
And he's not been the best teacher, not the best example either. So I like that they're following through with that.
Well, and Roy's having an identity crisis right now too, so he doesn't know if he wants to really respond to this training as well. So there's that also going on.
Yeah, and the Mirakuru is playing a part in it.
Yep.
Now I have to imagine that at some point they'll deal with that and they're gonna either take his powers away or tone them down. Like
they're going to have to take them away, I think. Yeah. I don't think you could have the sidekick be stronger than the hero.
Yeah, it's a little odd. Unless they're specifically trying to go for something where they don't just have two green arrows running around.
True, yeah.
But the training seems to be heading in the direction of shooting an arrow. So, who knows? But we kind of talked over the flashback scene there. They're trying to track down Slade in order to get back the Mirakuru. Thea's ridiculous pants make a return in this episode.
Hell, has she worn those before?
No. Last season we had a running thing of what ridiculous pants will Thea be wearing this week. Are they going to be bright pink? Are they going to be fluorescent orange? Are they going to be striped like a candy cane or whatever? And this week she's got these nice odd plaid golf pants. Like, it's a little bit weird, but yeah.
They suit her, I think. They're nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Mom back in the picture here. She's kind of taken the back seat for a little while.
Yeah, they've definitely downplayed her this season. I think they had to remove her from
Probably lying low herself just because of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously a bit of a change turnabout in this episode.
We'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yeah. Now we're in Laurel's apartment and things seem to be going downhill fast for her. One of the emails actually that we got in response to last week's episode, last week's discussion, is that people don't feel like she had hit bottom yet, like that she had quite gotten to the lowest of the low.
Right, I don't think she has even after this episode.
No, not even in this one. I think this whole, as we'll see later on in the episode, the whole disbarring thing, that's really going to be the thing that pushes her over the edge.
I think that the thing that'll push her over the edge is her sister. I think she'll probably die.
Oh, you think Sarah's gonna die?
I think Sarah's gonna die. Because, and then she's gonna take up the canary mantle.
You think so?
Like the rock bottom. It would make sense for me for her to get out everything that she needs to get out.
Yeah.
Where is she gonna put that? She's probably gonna start taking matters into her own hands since she can't be a lawyer anymore.
Yeah.
So that just seems like an obvious thing. The bottom, like all of this crap's happening to her. She's getting lower and lower, and then Sarah dies, mm-hmm. and that just like, you know, flips her over the edge. That's my guess. Mm. That's where I see things going.
See, now I've been saying, and it might be because I personally like Sarah's character a little bit more than I like Laurel's character right now. So I'm quite happy for them to have those two identities separate. To have, and especially because Laurel has not really been the Dinah Lance that we know from the comics,
right?
So even though she's Laurel Dinah Lance, and there's all of that aspect to it, the whole like the lawyer part of it, and just sort of aspects of her character, I don't really feel like she's got the.
You don't see her as a superhero.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that I don't see her as a superhero. I just don't specifically see her as the Black Canary.
Yeah.
Right? Because I've always felt like the Black Canary had this really cool strength and confidence to her that Laurel just doesn't have for me.
Right.
But
well,
Sarah has kind of had that this season. And
but because Sarah has the history of having to work to that.
Yes.
Laurel, it'll be a good journey for her over the next couple of seasons to get to that point.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it'll be.
Yeah, it could be interesting. I would personally like it if they kept the two separate and that we had Laurel and then we had Sarah as Black Canary.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But we talked over them. You know, we talked over Stephen Amell doing some salmon ladder exercise and talking about Roy a little.
Well, Amanda's not here, so we don't have to talk about a shirtless Stephen Amell.
We can avoid that. Bronze Tiger is meeting up with the guy who sprung him out of jail, and obviously not for no reason, right? This guy's gone to a lot of trouble to get him out of there, and it's to recover something. I like how shady they were being with this.
Yes.
And the second that he says that could kill hundreds of people, and he's like, no, it will kill thousands, it's like, well, obviously it's the earthquake device, right? Like, obviously there's another one or something. Even though, like, they pulled that on us. They already pulled the Star Wars move on us of it being there being a second Death Star. But now they're getting into the prototype Death Star area. So just fast forwarding through some commercials, but it's interesting because this isn't really. They just needed a MacGuffin for this episode, right? They needed that could tie back into last season so that they could bring up some of the emotional stuff, and just give them a reason for Roy and Oliver to be worried about Thea, right? For them to have that connection. So I thought it was really cool. We're back to the episode now with Arrow doing a little bit of kung fu. What I don't know what those things, what's that thing called?
I have no idea. It reminds me though of the, you know, that little handheld game Simon. Like hit the different colors and then he passes it off to Roy. Now you do it.
Yeah. And I like how Roy walks up to it and he just immediately starts hitting the center. And he's like, that's not how you do it. And so then he starts doing it the way he's supposed to. But this temper is a bit of an issue, clearly. And this is the Mirakuru working, right? So it's
he's always had the temper.
Yes, he's always had a temper. Yeah, that's true. It seems amped, though. It definitely seems like it's on a hair trigger now.
Right. Well, because he's stressed. He doesn't know what's going on with himself. Yeah. The guy who shot him in the leg is now his buddy or something.
Yeah. I think there's also like an adrenaline aspect, or a testosterone overdrive thing to the Mirakuru. So they're having some issues with their training regimen.
This made me so happy because I didn't know this was coming. I had no idea. Then I see Alex Krycek.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And I'm a big X-Files fan, so I was happy to see him.
Yeah, well, we got news that he had been cast a little while ago, I think,
I managed to avoid all of the spoilers, I guess.
Well, you know, Arrow's a funny thing because it's good enough that everybody watches it, but it's just under the radar enough that casting kind of, like, happens and then it goes away.
That's good.
And his character is... There's continuity to it, and I really should have looked that up before we started recording, but I forgot to.
To his character?
Yeah, to the character that he's playing.
I googled that name, and I didn't find anything.
Okay. I remember in the casting news that he's somebody important.
Yeah, Mark Francis. Now, he could be playing someone that's important to the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, he is. Yeah, I shouldn't have been surprised to see him. He pops up in nearly every Vancouver production since he's a local actor.
Yeah, but a very seasoned actor and an awesome actor. So it's good to have him showing up. Although it is another white guy with short brown hair in a suit, so that it might be a little confusing for people to keep track of him. He's a little older than the rest of them. So, but very interesting that they want... they want Moira to run for mayor against Sebastian Blood.
Yeah, that's an interesting move, and I guess they needed to give her character a little bit of purpose, so they had to do something like that.
Here we are, going into a door, and that is not, in fact, the interior of the exterior that they walked into.
No.
They're down the block in the interior shot, but they're right down the street from Game Deals in New West at Columbia Station, and that green fencing there
with
is
the
part
on.
Of a, yeah it's part of a restaurant that
there's
that
the
my
SkyTrain station
I,
right
yeah,
there
that my
yeah,
wife
you can
and
see
I
it.
Ate at a while back so we've actually we've eaten there at that restaurant that is apparently an empty lot with AA meetings going on in it now.
I wanted to specifically watch this episode for locations because you always talk about locations and I like pointing them out too, but I didn't recognize any of them. But I noticed that last week you didn't mention that the archives is the inside of Heritage Hall on Main Street.
I did not even notice.
Yeah,
wow. That's hilarious because the number of times I've been in that Heritage Hall.
Exactly.
And I didn't even notice that was it. That's cool. For anybody, do they still do the pop culture collectible?
I don't know. I used to go to those all the time, yeah. And I haven't even, I don't know if they do.
If anybody wanted to go on a tour of Arrow shooting locations, you could, there's always stuff going on the weekends there. You can check out the inside of the Heritage Hall. But I blanked on Felicity's name for a second. Felicity's been keeping her ears open for prison breaks, and that's how they kind of know about Bronze Tiger getting out.
Yeah.
And now they know where he's going.
So is this the set for the Luther Mansion from Smallville? Like, do they use a lot of the same sets there?
It's definitely not the set, because those sets were all taken down, because they were all at Beresford. And
so they don't use the Beresford studio?
They do use Beresford a little bit, but they mainly shoot at Vancouver Films.
Oh, okay. Oh, they stepped up?
yeah. They've got a bigger budget for this.
Yeah, right? For sure. They definitely do.
Especially considering, like, Smallville started in Beresford, stayed there, and they their budget went down as the show went on.
Did it really?
Yeah, about season 4 they kind of peaked, and then the budget started dwindling every season, which is why you see like the attrition of the cast, like people start to leave, and then and then they started to rely more on sets than location shooting.
Okay.
So something to watch for in this series when we start to see exterior sets as opposed to locations.
Well, at least they stayed in Vancouver, didn't pull an X-Files.
Yeah, they definitely did. But
now this guy, this sidekick, also pops up in every Vancouver. I don't know what his name is. Every Vancouver-based television show, he always has some sort of.
We
cameo.
Get a lot of those. There, and there's sort of the false reveal of the earthquake machine.
Yeah.
But like, A, the kill thousands of people, and B, it's in Merlin's basement. Like,
yeah.
He put two and two together pretty quick. Obviously, it's the earthquake machine. Oliver is not too keen on them getting their hands on this thing.
Well, yeah, neither am I.
But I think it's interesting that Bronze Tiger really doesn't care. Like he's slightly concerned in that he's saying like you know what you're messing with, but as long as he's getting paid, he really doesn't care who dies. Nice martial arts stuff going on.
Well, I wouldn't expect less.
Yeah,
I like the. His bronze jacket and little tiger tooth that's hanging from his neck there.
Yeah, well, I've said before, when he first showed up, this character design, when you go from
full
a guy,
body,
like a guy in a tiger mask and a karate gi, to this, I think it's a bit of a step up. That Bronze Tiger is a character that's been needing an update for a while.
Did he get a good update in New 52? Do you know?
I don't know if he's even shown up in the New 52 yet.
Because wasn't there?
I'm sure he'll show up as a very Liefeld-esque half man, half tiger sort of character. We're just fast forwarding through more commercials. So much has happened already. We're not even halfway through. But yeah, like I love that character design. I think he looks really cool. Even if he does kind of have Wolverine claws. I'm okay.
It's okay.
With it.
They look awesome. So
it's a comic trope at this point, right? To have one guy with a set of three claws to fight with.
But yeah.
It's a long commercial break. Okay.
So I really noticed in the last couple episodes, and maybe I just haven't been paying attention because honestly, the island. I don't like the island as much as I like present day.
Okay.
So I don't pay as much attention when the island scenes are on, but I really noticed.
So just really quick, we're back to them in the arrow cave, the quiver, the foundry, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I really noticed how much of a great actor Stephen Mell is because he has such a distinct personality and his character is so different in the island.
Yeah.
Then it got me thinking. He actually has four different characters that he plays in this show. Like he has the island one. He has his arrow character.
Yeah.
And he has what I call his eyebrows down Ollie, which is a serious Ollie, and then his eyebrows up Ollie, which is his public face.
Yeah.
Those are four different, totally different characters.
Yeah.
And he does them all really well.
Yeah, he does. It's actually very interesting. Well, Amanda and I had talked about it a couple episodes ago, I think. Maybe it was in the tag. It's very interesting once you meet him, because you would think the happy-go-lucky Oliver in Starling City would be the closest to his actual personality, right? That face that he puts on for everybody. But in fact, the closest one to his actual personality, I find, is as we call him, Abercrombie Oliver from season one.
Right.
Who's sort of like constantly like, what's going on? What's happening? I can't believe it.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, he's a very humble guy. He's very down to earth. So the fact that he's the Green Arrow on, you know, the highest rated show on the CW and having all this awesome success with this,
yeah,
and everything else that he's doing in his life right now. Yeah. When you talk to him about it, he's very much like Abercrombie Oliver, where
right.
it's very genuine and sincere.
Well, that's good. Awesome.
So it's an interesting thing, because you wouldn't expect that to be the guy behind, you know, the salmon ladder and the shooting arrows through guys' knees every other episode.
So we're in the cave here.
Yeah.
Do you think, are there any Easter eggs written on the wall there? All of the whatever.
You know what? I guarantee that there are, but I don't know that we got a clear enough look at any of it to really see it. But
yeah.
But I'm sure that there's something there, something about a trajectory of a boxing glove arrow or something, maybe. Mm-hmm. but they had tracked, not really tracked him, but assumed that he would go, that Slade would go back to the cave.
Yeah.
Got there, saw all these calculations, and Oliver put it together that he's gonna go find the rocket launcher from last season, the missile launcher thing, and blow up the boat, which is their only way off the island at this point. And then we just talked over Roy showing up, trying to talk to Thea, get her to leave town so that, you know, she doesn't get killed by another earthquake. But he's losing it, right? And he's starting to recognize that. And the one thing that seems to be bringing him out of it is Thea,
mm-hmm.
right? And we'll see more of that later on.
That was kind of a forced, like when he grabbed her shoulder, because he never touches Thea usually.
Yeah.
And so it seemed a little forced that he had to grab her arm. But they need to do it to show his strength.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. And now Laurel's trying to find another job.
Yeah, so she's going back to her friend from last season that she was working with. Who has set up an interview for her, but when they found out essentially about what's been going on with her, they can't offer her anything. They can't give her any sort of position because she might be disbarred. They're opening disciplinary proceedings, which is a fancy way of saying that they're gonna look into her dress. There's the scoff. There's Laurel's scoff. They're gonna look into her drug/drinking problem, and see if she's fit to practice law.
Yep.
Which is a bit of a blow.
It's a blow. Yeah, and she says that she's fine. There's all that denial stuff.
Yeah, she's a bit of a broken record this season, though. She's been saying that she's fine for a while, but really, like I always have to remind myself what triggered this, and it was Tommy's death. So it has been since the season finale
mm-hmm.
of last season that she's been going on this downward spiral.
Yeah. Actually, you'll have to remind me, because we can talk about this after the episode ends. But one of the lines during when they sneak into the AA thing kind of rubbed me the wrong way, and I'll just remind me if I don't remember.
Okay. So we've got Walter, who is... It was nice to see Walter again.
Yeah,
it's nice to have him back.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. And he's... I like that they've brought him back in this capacity, that hopefully he'll be sticking around as a recurring character to help push Moira along this path, because she's a little bit reluctant. She's still trying to decide whether or not she's going to do this. But here comes the deciding factor, the tipping point, And that's going to be Thea. She's sort of the one to push her into it. I think in this episode, one of the things that I really took away from it was how far Thea's character has come since last season. Because it was about this time last year that Thea was at the bottom of her downward spiral.
Yep.
And everything was happening with the Vertigo. And then she's really turned it around. And I know early on in the first season, I was definitely worried about what they were going to do with her character. She didn't seem like she was all that strong, and Willa Holland is kind of, she comes with a bit of baggage if you watched the OC.
I didn't know.
So there was a little bit of that sort of thing with it for me, and they've totally turned her character around to the point where now she's like the sobering,
she's
thoughtful
no,
one.
She's no longer selfish.
Yeah. She's really grown as a character. And become an adult. Like, she transitioned from being a teenager last season to now being an adult. I think we may have jumped her age a little bit, because I think she was supposed to be like 16, 17, and now she's acting a little bit more like she's 19, 20.
Well, yeah, she's like running the bar.
Yeah.
But she, it was natural. It was a smooth transition from that point to this point. You don't even notice it, really, until you stop and think about it.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's a good way to do it.
And now here's Oliver trying to rein Roy in by bringing up Thea, but as he's discovering, as the arrow, all that does is bring out more frustration and anger, because there's all this secrecy going on, and Roy doesn't trust him at this point, right? Because he doesn't know him. All he knows him as is, you know, a guy who saved his life last year. In the subway, and then kind of brought him on to help, but then shot him through the leg with an arrow. So he's really been like, they've had a very adversarial friendship so far. Just fast forward through these commercials,
which really makes sense why they did what they did in a little bit in like 10 minutes here.
For me, watching the episode the whole time, it was like, oh man, they're just gonna drag this out. Like, are they gonna get around to showing him? Like, why? Yeah. First of all, how is Roy not noticing that that's Oliver? He's met the guy. But second of all, like, at what point are they gonna go, okay, let's bring him into the circle? But
it's the new mask.
Yeah.
Oh, scoff right there. Do you see that?
Was it?
No, she said you both scoffed.
Oh. There. Okay. Yeah. There's Felicity's mention of the scoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. I hope that's a reference to us, but we hadn't met Steven yet. He was filming episode 14, I think.
When you did the interview?
When we did the interview.
Oh, okay, so this would have been in the can already. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was already done. But I don't know, maybe I get the feeling that some of the writers might be aware of Quiver. Because there have been a couple of things that would seem like really under the radar references, or you know, our listeners just go on and tweet at them and you know like some of the
well
stuff
you should
that
have
we've talked
a
about.
Phrase that you try and push on the writers, whoever writers might be listening, and see, and then if we hear that specific, very specific phrase worked into the dialogue somewhere in the future, then it'll be like a little wink.
Yeah. Well, you know, for my friends Derek and Steve at Starkville House of L, the Smallville podcast, they had the catchphrase "mole." That was it came out of an inside joke, and they eventually they kept trying to get Brian Q. Miller, who writes the Smallville season 11 comic, to fit it into an episode. They kept trying to get him to do that. And eventually he did. It's in one of the season 10 episodes.
Awesome. Well, there you go.
So we need to figure something out like that. I think it should be arrowheads. That's what I think.
Oh yeah.
Like if they ever have an opportunity to talk about, you know, the vigilantes fan base.
Yeah.
They refer to them as arrowheads. That would be a cool reference. To not just us, but to the fan base in general.
Yeah.
Which, as far as we know, at Quiver, we coined that phrase. but that's sort of that's hard to pinpoint.
Yeah.
But I we talked over stuff.
Yeah,
a little bit.
This is a good scene too. Just you can see she's getting really desperate.
Yeah.
And seeking for attention in a lot of different places.
Well, these are all you know the classic cliche textbook cry for help. But yeah. As I like to say, because people get down on cliches and stuff, but cliches are cliches for a reason, right?
Yeah, they actually happen.
And in storytelling, we sometimes refer to them as tropes. And if it's an effective trope and if it's used well in service of a character, I don't have a problem with it.
Right. Well, it explains so much.
That was interesting, though. This is an interesting moment that I don't want to overlook. There was a shady-looking guy that just put something into his jacket.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that.
And it has had nothing to do with anything yet.
Yeah.
But I suspect that it's tied to Sebastian Blood, and that it's got to do with Laurel,
right?
And that either somebody's been pushing her down this path recently, a little bit, and maybe drugging her to a certain degree, or they've taken a sample of something in order to use against her in the future, in order to get her to do something. Who knows, right? But I just thought I would note that because it was definitely... They snuck it in there. And it was a really weird thing that if you didn't see it, if you blinked, you'd miss it. But Moira has shown up to talk about this whole running for mayor thing. And as I said before, Thea has kind of become the sounding board for a few of these characters. And she's going to... This is the moment when she's going to convince Moira that she can run,
and this relationship will be important for the rest of the season because Oliver's never around to be that sounding board.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're so close is good.
Yeah, definitely. Now we're just over. I guess they're on the North Shore if they're pointing towards downtown. Or maybe they're just on... might be
downtown.
On
the... There's water all around downtown, so they could be on any side of the water.
Yeah, but they're just transacting their deal here. Bronze Tiger got away with the device. Stay away from Markovia. I don't know. Is Markovia a real place?
I don't know.
It's because it sounds familiar, but I don't know if it sounds familiar because it's real or if it sounds familiar because it's from comic books.
Yeah, right.
But it looks like Oliver has shown up just in the nick of time to stop this evil Russian arms dealer. But in fact, Bronze Tiger was just getting the jump on him.
Yeah, that's gonna hurt. Ba-dum-cha,
pun intended. And we get a commercial break with a very long black screen for a pause. Oliver is definitely in trouble. If only he had a partner who could back him up in situations like this. And that used to be Diggle. I feel like Diggle's really taken a backseat to everybody else this season. I feel like it's a little unfair. Because last season it was very much the Vigilante and Diggle show. But we're back to the episode.
Yeah, he doesn't really do a whole lot anymore.
Yeah.
It's too bad because I like him.
And he became a really strong character. Right? He started as a really strong character.
Yeah.
But thankfully, Roy shows up just in the next nick of time, I guess. There's a lot of showing up in the nick of time and doing things in the nick of time the last few minutes of this episode.
Yep.
The arms dealer has decided that, if he can't deliver this to his buyer, he's going to end up dead, so he might as well
take
half the
him.
City with him, yeah. So he's activated
Roy
the device,
again,
but yeah,
going off.
Hopefully, Bronze Tiger's okay, and we'll get to see him again in the future. But I guess he'll have to break out of jail after a stint in the hospital. This is my one thing with Roy's powers, is that, and it's the one thing always with TV punching, super punching. It's like when they want to demonstrate it, he can punch through a cinder block, but when he needs to punch somebody in the face, yeah. Their face doesn't explode.
Yeah, right.
We're talking over the big moment here of Oliver revealing himself to Roy, but yeah, here, so now Roy knows that Oliver is the Arrow, and I like how he kind of like gingerly pops that arrow in there.
Right in there.
And then they run. They do their action star jumps away from the explosion. I love that it's a real explosion. Smallville would have done that with some CG.
Smallville did some real explosions.
They did. But I'm just thinking back to Justice. Which was everybody's favorite episode, but my least favorite episode. I've always hated that episode. Because of the slow motion walk away. But,
I was just thinking of Power Rangers when I watched that.
Exactly. Especially with their outfits. But we get the reality of stuff a little bit more on this show. And this is a big moment. They're officially partners here. He's now in the crew. And you would think that would be a good enough place to end an episode, right? Like, you'd think that would be good enough. We definitely talked over the moment of Oliver making a phone call to someone, we don't know who, at that moment, although I mean it was pretty easy to guess, to say that Laurel is in trouble and needs someone's help.
Who did he call?
He called Sarah. We're back in the quiver, Arrow Cave, whatever you want to call it, the secret headquarters, the hideout. And Oliver is breaking the news to the other members of Team Arrow that they've got yet another. It's getting a little crowded. I think they need to.
I'm actually surprised at how many people that the writers have let in on this.
Yeah, well, Mark Guggenheim said in an interview a couple days ago, alluding to what was coming in this episode, and it seemed to me based on that interview that they weren't going to let Roy in just yet because Oliver, they sort of referenced his comment in a couple of scenes where Roy says, how many people know your secret? And he says, too many, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just, you have to remember, it's not just the people in this room. It's also Merlin.
Yep.
It's also Slade. Mm-hmm. I think it's also Ra's al Ghul because they attacked him in his home.
Raish.
So there's a lot of people who know who he is, but we're gonna get a quick flashback to the island and sort of resolve this whole issue with Slade and the missile launcher.
That's good because I wanted him to be back on their team.
Yeah, I saw this going differently, right? Like
they built it up like this was going to be definitely someone's losing an eye and they're splitting up for good.
This was going to be the moment that that everything changes between the two of them, but instead this is when Oliver learned that the one way to break through this the rage and the hatred is love, right? And for Roy, it was by bringing up Thea, and for Slade, it's Shadow, and more than that, I think it's his son, mentioning his son and that he has someone to go back to, that he has a life off of this island, and he needs to focus on that, on getting off of the island, not. You know, getting revenge. So, I think it's interesting because we call it the island a lot, and that's always sort of reminds me of Lost.
It does, yeah.
And we know that Oliver doesn't spend the entire 5 years on the island, but that he does spend that he is picked up on the island, right? Like he's rescued from the island at a certain point.
Oh yeah. So he's not going to catch that freighter.
So well, they might catch the freighter. They might get off the island, but then he's got to go back.
Yeah, right.
I always think is funny because that's Lost.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that ensures that this show could go on for seasons and seasons, and they just as long as they keep bringing him back to the island, then they can keep on writing new stories.
Yeah. But here it is. Here's the moment with Moira. She has decided to run for mayor, and I like this. It's because she wants to be remembered for something other than being Merlin's pawn, right? This was a cool sort of under the radar revelation that Walter has known for a long time, apparently, that Robert was not Thea's father, right? Huh. Because he brings it, he says it, not her, right?
Oh.
And it's not a big surprise to anybody. It's like, no, like, we're having a frank discussion about that thing we talked about that one time, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
Because they were married, so I like the idea that we didn't need that explained, we didn't need it spelled out, that it's just there.
Yeah.
But interesting if they're going to be, reverting to their nefarious ways in order to silence this this doctor. But obviously, Malcolm also knows.
Right, yeah, and that's, he's gonna...
I think it's gonna come into play in the second half of the season.
Malcolm should announce that he's running as well.
He's back from the dead and he's running
for mayor.
That would be a comic book storyline, yeah, for sure.
So this is a big moment here.
Yes, this is, for those who might not know, Amanda Waller in the comics runs a group of supervillains turned superheroes, ?
Yeah. Of which Bronze Tiger is like a permanent member.
Yes, called the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
We've actually, I think we may have had one or two other characters who were references to the Suicide Squad. Shrapnel from a couple episodes ago.
Oh yeah,
Was a member of Suicide Squad.
Okay,
but Shrapnel from the comics was made of metal and could shoot metal things off of him. Whereas in this, he was just a guy who liked to blow things up.
That could be useful.
But I don't remember if they caught Shrapnel if he died at the end of that episode.
No one ever really dies.
This is true. Obviously, Malcolm came back from the dead.
Yeah.
And here we go. This is the moment of entering the Arrow Cave. I like this. Does this group have a name? Like Team Arrow or something. It is funny because Felicity has called them Team Arrow.
Yeah.
A couple of times. But there we go. So now
it's a great moment too. Not a lot of fanfare. It's just like it's well done.
It's underplayed, and I think that, yep, that's a cool way to do it.
Which I think a lot of the show is underplayed.
Yes.
And it avoids that melodrama that Smallville was always.
Yes.
We always saw that come up in sometimes bad ways.
Yes, for sure. And then here's the reveal that Sarah is back in Starling City, and revealing herself to Laurel. And here's the next time on. Here comes the next time on. And we'll see right off the bat in this. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
There's Nissa Al Ghul. And she says Ra's al Ghul right there. No, there's no closed captions over the next time. But
that wouldn't help me with the pronunciation.
Yeah.
It's a canary.
We've got Canary back, and we've got Nissa Al Ghul showing up for the first time. So, very cool stuff.
And now, Bronze Tiger has some ties to the League of Assassins as well.
Yes, he does. Yeah, because he's much more martial arts based, much more karate based.
Yeah,
in the comics than he has been in this. Although not to say that he doesn't have his martial prowess. He obviously does. He kept up with Oliver in a couple of those scenes. But like I've said before, in the comics, he's a guy in a karate gi with a tiger head,
yeah.
There's sort of a cast of characters in his story, and they all have, I think there's four of them, right? And they all have different, they all trained with the same master, and they all have different,
they embody different animals.
Yeah, different animal heads. One's like a falcon or something, and one has a shark head, and It's I think there's four of them. There was a Batman Brave and the Bold episode about it.
Right. The Fearsome Fangs.
Yeah. And they fused with their animal spirits, right. And had
Definitely a product of the Golden Age.
Oh yeah, yep. for sure. Yeah. Very old school comic book characters. It'll be interesting to see if they tie some of that stuff together, with the League of Shadows / Assassins. What have they called it on this? They've called it the League of Assassins on Arrow, I think.
It was League of Assassins. What is it in the comics? League of Shadows? I thought it was League of Assassins in the comics as well.
I think it's League of Assassins in the comics. I think it was League of Shadows in the Batman movies, though, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure we're going to find out on the Facebook group tomorrow.
Somebody, whenever. On Saturday.
Somebody
will let us know. Anyways, I always sort of like just go back and forth between it. But you had something that you wanted to say about the AA
scene. Oh, yeah. So when they go into the room and Laurel looks around and says... I don't remember what the conversation is, but her dad says something like, these people have had it worse or something like that.
Yeah.
And that just kind of rubbed me the wrong way because she has had a lot of trauma happen to her in a year.
Yeah.
Not just with Tommy's death, but when Tommy died, she was in a burning building that was falling on her.
Yes.
And how many times was she kidnapped and shot at and like in the space of 1 year?
Yeah.
And people aren't acknowledging the fact that she probably needs not just AA but some actual psychological counseling or something, right?
Not to mention that 5 years prior to that
her sister died, her boyfriend died, and
she found out that they were sleeping together.
And it's just been
She's been through that, and then her parents split up as a result of it, and her dad became an alcoholic, or didn't become an alcoholic, but had issues with alcohol.
Yeah. It's a long, long spiral downhill, and she needs more help than just an AA group, but they seem to not acknowledge that. And then the dad's comment was just totally flippant, because it doesn't acknowledge, like, he was there for all of that.
Yeah.
He should know better than anyone else that she's gone through a heck of a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was a little interesting, but I think one of the things that makes their relationship really, really cool and really fun to explore is that Quentin is just as messed up, right? And that's where he's coming from, is that he's recognizing these things in Laurel, and he doesn't have the language or the ability to deal with it. Right, like he's always very clearly out of his depth with his daughters.
Yeah,
he's a very good cop. He's an excellent detective, and he's very heroic and all of those things. But it's sort of at the cost of being a good father, right? Because they've hinted that there were issues beforehand, and that's why she dated Oliver.
Right?
Because it was
as a little rebellion.
To get back at him, and so there's. There's a lot of that history that I think you have to remind yourself of, and the fact that Detective Lance is very broken himself, and he's coming at it. It's like I always like to say that advice is always anecdotal, right? Like everybody gives you advice based on their own experience. So for him, he's looking at it and he's seeing his alcoholism, and he's worried that he's passed it on, it's become very apparent, actually.
Well, and it's even becoming worse because she's now, you know, taking pills and all that.
And so in his mind, what has worked for him will work for her. He just has to get her there by any means necessary, and like, no doubt what he did in this episode was wrong, right?
But
does she need help? Obviously, she needs help, right? And Oliver recognizes that, but Oliver has the maybe the insight into a bit of what Laurel's dealing with to recognize that her father's not the one who's going to be able to help her with this. That it's going to be Sarah, that who has also been through some stuff in the last 5 years, that maybe she'll have the ability to help.
Is Laurel going to be happy to see Sarah, or pissed off because she's been alive this whole time and hasn't talked to her, plus now she gets to confront the whole sleeping with Ollie thing?
I think anger will be the initial reaction. Mostly because anger has been her initial reaction to just about everything.
Right.
For this season, right? Like, she... Tommy died, so she blamed the vigilante, and she went... Like, she had a vendetta against him, right?
Yep.
And made that her sole purpose. And then when that didn't work out, she you know, got mad at other people. Like, she buried herself in work, and then eventually... has sort of turned it on Sebastian Blood over those last couple episodes. Like, there's been a lot of anger, and I think that's the core of it, right? Is that she's very hurt after having lost Tommy. There is, I think, a bit of a PTSD situation because of the earthquake and everything, and she's not dealing with it, right? Like, she's self-medicating and sort of just, I mean, it's spiraling, right? Like, that's sort of what we've been talking about the last few episodes. Really, I guess, since about halfway into the first half of the season. It's a quarter of the way into the season. She's just sort of, like, everything she's doing is self-destructive. But, as we saw in this episode, man, as we said earlier, I think it's more of a cry for help than anything, right? Like,
yep.
She doesn't know how to deal with it. And she's just continually, you know, drinking and with the pills and everything to try and get somebody to help her, right? But at the same time, anybody who tries to help her, she gets angry at, right? Like, it's this very self-destructive cycle.
Yeah.
And it's been a real focus, and I'm really hoping that there's a big payoff. I'm really hoping that there's either an emotional payoff or some sort of a plot point coming up. I think that guy hiding whatever it was in his jacket that he had, that little cylinder, I'm really hoping that has something to do with something with Laurel, so that her story hasn't just been drama for the sake of drama.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would be going down that Smallville path.
Oh, man, we make so many Smallville comparisons, but that just bugged me every single... It seemed like it was either every season or every other season, Clark would get into his little downward spiral, and that would be the cliffhanger. He'd go away for the season break, then he'd come back at the beginning of the new season, and he'd be fine.
Oftentimes putting on a red kryptonite ring.
Right, yes.
Getting really mad at everybody.
Driving off on his motorcycle.
Smallville was a great series.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
It's one of my favorite TV shows.
It was just
shows,
so
yeah,
melodramatic.
Yeah, it played up the CW angle a lot. Whereas I feel like Arrow breaks that mold more often than not. Like they'll come in and I mean, really think about it. How much romance has there been on Arrow? Not that much.
A whole lot.
Right? There was a little bit more in the first season. And they've played with it a bit this season. And there are people with relationships. I mean, Thea and Roy have a relationship.
Yep.
But is it played for romance every episode? No.
No.
Is it played for drama every
episode?
Well,
Smallville started off as a high school drama, right? And so, of course, that's going to be more romance heavy than this, which is not that at all.
But I just really hope with all the focus... And it feels like on Quiver we keep going back to this stuff with Laurel, so there must be something that they're building to, because it definitely is coming to a head. If not next week, then maybe in a couple weeks. I'm not sure how many episodes we have before the 2 week break.
I bet that'll be the cliffhanger for the 2 week break. That'll be included in the cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, I think next week's the last episode before we go on this break for the Olympics, and then we're not back until I think the end of February, if not the beginning of March. So,
okay.
Anyways, a lot of huge revelations in this episode. all the stuff with Laurel, as we've been talking about ad nauseum.
With Sarah revealing herself.
Sarah coming back, yeah, and revealing herself. Moira running for mayor.
That's just
very
deal.
Big. Yeah, yeah. Especially because it ties into the Sebastian Blood story.
And it won't get as much play because it's not part of the main story, yeah. But it's actually going to be a pretty big deal, especially if she wins.
Yes.
That's going to be a big game changer for the whole Queen family.
Yeah. And at this point, I think she almost has to win, right? Because if there's no
to
other...
To redeem herself from yeah. the atrocities.
Well, and if there's no other candidate, and Sebastian Blood, we know he's a supervillain.
Right, yeah.
Unless they want to pull the, like, dystopian, the supervillain wins and becomes the mayor, and now there's nothing... You know what I mean?
Like, they could
look,
do that.
Lex Luthor yep. was the president of the United States of America for a few years in the comic book continuity, yep. so...
Well, and that, another Smallville comparison, Lionel Luthor yeah. ran as well, and
yep.
against Jonathan... And I don't even remember who won that one. Neither of them?
Oh, jeez. No, Jonathan won, but he died.
But then he died. Oh, yeah, died right. Yeah, yeah,
whoa,
yeah.
Spoilers for anybody who's not past season 5. Hopefully, we do have one listener who's watching through Smallville, so hopefully
oh,
he's
no.
past season 5.
I hope so.
If not...
That's so long ago.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't feel like it's spoilers, because that was... At this point, what, like 7-8 years ago almost?
Yeah.
Holy
yeah,
smokes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that Moira will end up winning
yeah.
this election, because they'll deal with Sebastian Blood. Unless what they end up doing is making, I don't know, like Slade the mayor or something like that, like having him.
Or
come
Merlin,
up.
You never
or
know.
Or Merlin. Wow, that would be a twist. Or somebody else that we don't know about yet, right?
Or
it could be another player.
Or this is a whole plot, and someone's pulling the strings to get her in there so they can manipulate her to do other things. I don't know. That might be
sure.
a stretch.
Well, you know, it could be Merlin, right? Like, he could be the one using this, right?
Using Walter, even.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And this the new character that has shown up.
Right, yeah, I can't decide whether he's going to be a good guy.
Yeah.
Mark Francis is going to be a good guy or a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because I compare it to Krycek, of course, but he turned into a bad guy in X-Files. Didn't he? Yeah.
I think so. I didn't really watch X-Files.
Oh, you didn't?
Especially not post-David Duchovny stuff.
Oh, you should.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should go.
Yeah.
The first season's awful, but then the... but it was great. It has... It's an important show in sci-fi TV.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
And I even like the post-Duchovny episodes. There are certain
yeah.
characters I didn't like, but I liked it when Daggett came, actually. I thought he was a different character.
I'd always tried to get into it, and then the movie happened, and I saw the movie.
Wait,
and
the
then
new
I,
one? The new movie?
No,
or
the
first
movie.
Yeah.
And then I started watching the TV series after the first movie. And you have to remember... This is back when if you didn't see it when it was first on TV.
Yeah, good luck finding an episode.
Yeah, you'd kind of
buy
have
a random
to,
VHS.
Yeah, you'd have to pick it up as it kind of aired in syndication. Because there was definitely not Netflix.
Yeah.
There weren't even DVDs.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that there weren't DVDs that you could buy. No, there weren't DVDs. Like, you'd
yeah.
have to pick it up on VHS.
Well, the internet was around, but no one had heard of BitTorrent or anything like
yeah,
that
no.
at that point. But
YouTube didn't exist.
You know, I have them all on DVD. I should lend them to you, because if you
they're
have...
They're on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they're all on
yeah,
Netflix.
It's definitely worth it. It's a lot
yeah.
of fun. There's the 90s cheesiness to
yes,
it, of
absolutely.
Course, but it's a great show.
Well, you know, I find it's like it's just like... Buffy or Smallville.
You have to watch it in context. Of
yeah,
era.
You go back and it's like I think for younger kids now to go back and watch Buffy, I think it would be definitely those first two or three seasons.
Yeah.
It would be difficult.
You can say the same thing with Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh yeah, for sure,
yeah.
for sure. But it's important to know them to know where a show like Arrow comes from, because I do think that Buffy being on TV if it wasn't Buffy, it would have been something else. But it is Buffy, so we say if it
yeah.
wasn't for Buffy leading the way in sort of that genre CW-esque
yeah.
TV show, we wouldn't have gotten to Smallville, and then we wouldn't have gotten to Arrow. So it's all it's kind of an evolution And I do, I agree with you that, that The X-Files is sort of one of those foundational TV shows yep. that a lot of things now are based off of. I mean, I loved Fringe. Fringe was one of my favorite shows. So,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and I know that it shares a lot of sort of the roots of what X-Files was. It was always constantly compared to The X-Files, even though I think they had very different tones.
Is that one on Netflix? But, I'm going to have Fringe, to watch
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, yeah, I believe Fringe it. Is on Netflix.
Cool.
Fringe was excellent. Fringe, yeah. Again, like Buffy, like Smallville, like X-Files, you got to get through the first season. I wouldn't consider it bad, but it is definitely a little bit rough. It's very much Freak of the Week. Sort of, they get a case, they go deal with it.
But you know, I like those kind of things. X-Files is full of that.
It's a good foundation, and then by the time that you get to season, I think, 3 or 4, you start to find out that, in fact, everything's been connected the whole time.
That sounds just like X-Files.
Yeah, and there's some cool revelations as you get down the path. So, yeah, definitely check out Fringe if you haven't checked out Fringe.
Okay.
But is there anything else? We've finished talking about Arrow.
Well, when you were listing off the big things that happened in this episode, you didn't talk about Suicide Squad. You didn't.
Oh yeah, Suicide Squad. Okay,
that's like gonna play huge.
I think we're setting up for season 3 with that.
Oh, yeah?
I think that what's happening there is that Amanda Waller is
gathering her gathering her team. We'll see
a little bit more of that this season. And then I think that we'll come back next season and that there'll be an issue. I think that Suicide Squad might also be... I mean, the biggest thing is whenever they get around to letting us know definitively, does this have anything to do with Man of Steel? Are they connected? Is there a larger world out there? And I think the other part of it is, who knows? They might be setting up Suicide Squad for Flash, right? We have to keep that in
or
the
its own show.
Mind.
Suicide Squad could handle its own show.
Absolutely. And Michael Jai White, I mean, if you want to lead for a show about supervillains,
oh man, I'd watch that.
Kicking butt for the U.S. government, then yeah, Michael Jai White would be a good guy to lead that show. Yeah, definitely. So I don't know. They could be setting up a lot of stuff with that. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. I think,
but you know what? It also could be if they're forming a team of, you know, quote unquote supervillains. Although none of them seem to have powers in this show.
Yeah.
They will need a team of heroes at some point to have a nice battle.
Yes.
And so we can look in a couple of seasons for that justice type episode.
Yeah.
Where all of the, you know, Flash will come back, of course, and whoever else we're going to meet in this season or next will team up to fight Suicide Squad in a big, nice big battle.
Yeah, I keep on holding out for Nightwing to show up.
He would make sense in this show. Yeah.
Yeah, they've made reference to Bloodhaven so many times, and I think if Arrow is connected to the movies, to the movie universe. They've said that the Batman in Man of Steel 2, Superman versus Batman, whatever they're going to call it, they're going to call it Justice League, but they've said that he's been operating for a while, that it's under the radar and that it hasn't been a publicized thing, right? That everybody knows about Batman, but that it's like if you live in Gotham City, that there are urban legends of the Batman, right? And if that's the case, then it's possible that he's had a Robin and that Robin has grown up, especially if he's closer to the Chris O'Donnell type Robin of the Batman, you know, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. You know, like if he's more of like, it was more like a teenager when he was taken on and then has grown out of that. And so there could be a Nightwing running around in Bloodhaven. And yeah, you're right. Like he would fit perfectly into
this world
because
he
doesn't have superpowers. He's all acrobatics based. I mean,
and he has the grim moodiness of this show as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I think that would be cool. But again, you're talking about another character who could carry his own show. So
yeah, I don't think that would ever happen in Nightwing's show.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah. But it would be cool if he was like akin to what Oliver Queen was on Smallville.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Just sort of shows up every once in a while and then eventually becomes a regular cast member. But
yeah. Well, and they've already, not only with Bloodhaven, but with just with Ra's al Ghul and
yeah,
like Batman is obviously tied into this. The Batman world and the Green Arrow world,
yes,
are tied together. How closely? How much more are we going to see? I mean, we've seen Huntress too, which has
yep,
big connections to Batman, and I think.
Well, we've got Huntress coming back this season,
yeah,
for an episode that they've shown some. It has been revealed. I don't know that they've shown anything, but they'll have Huntress and Black Canary together in Starling City, which is 2/3 of the Birds of Prey.
Right.
The other third being Oracle,
yep,
who was Batgirl at one point. Obviously, we're not going to get Batgirl / Oracle,
yep,
because they'd need about 3 or 4 episodes just to set that up. But we already kind of have an Oracle in
Felicity,
right?
We do, certainly
right?
do, yep.
So we could have sort of like a mini Birds of Prey going on in a couple of weeks, but I think that's going to be after the break. But I can't remember the actress's name, but the Huntress, she's actually on that Dracula show. So,
oh, that show. I didn't like that show.
No, I haven't checked it out at all because it's a show about Dracula in modern day, and that just...
Was it modern day? I only watched the first episode, and it took place in that Victorian era.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe it is. Maybe it is a period piece. I don't know.
Yeah.
This shows how much I know about it. Right. I'm not going to go anywhere near it.
So she won't be a regular because she's tied up.
She won't be a regular, yeah, because she's tied up right now. Who knows what's going on with that show? I don't know what their ratings are.
Well, I know that Diggle... that actor, what's his name? Diggle's actor?
David, it's
great. David something?
David Ramsey.
David Ramsey, yeah. He's on Blue Bloods. He's the mayor. He pops up for, I don't know, 6 or 8 episodes per season or something like
okay.
that. So I don't know, maybe they're lessening him here in Angel. I mean, hey, why did I just call it Angel? in Arrow. So because he's going to have a bigger role in the other show or something? I don't know.
Because
he is sharing the time back and forth.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting. That could be possible if anybody else watches Blue Bloods or if you watch that show.
I don't know. Oh. I did it's on after, what do I watch that is on after? Revolution maybe? So I've seen him in it. I don't watch the show, but I've seen him there because it came on after whatever show I was watching.
Yeah. Well, if any of our listeners out there watch Blue Bloods, they can let us know if David Ramsey has been showing up a lot as the mayor on that. And you know, the other revelation that we didn't really talk about was Oliver.
Oh, of course.
And Oliver, you know, revealing himself to Roy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't have personally much to say about it other than awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's just going down the path that we know it's going to go down eventually. And as they've done many times with this show, they're just cutting to the chase,
mm-hmm.
right? Rather than drag out these things that we know are going to happen eventually, they just get right to it.
Well, and this episode really explains why the last couple episodes have felt like they've been some filler and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even though, I mean, last week you were talking, saying how you thought that you weren't going to have anything to talk about when ended up, you did have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
But it still had that feeling of setting a lot of stuff up.
Yeah.
And it all comes to this, where there's major reveals for every character, pretty much every character on the show.
Yeah.
And then some. And then we're going to branch in a bunch of different directions now.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only characters who really don't have something big going on in their lives at the moment are Diggle and Felicity. Like, they're really the only ones who are unaffected.
Yeah.
Other than their work with Oliver, right?
When's Summer Glau going to come back?
That's the thing I've been asking, right? Because, as I said last week, you don't bring in a big gun like Summer Glau. Unless,
or just this to write her off.
Yeah, unless you've got something big planned.
Yeah. But I guess we haven't really had a whole lot of time to focus on Ollie's business side of things anyway. Yeah. So like we haven't seen any of that.
Yeah, so I think at some point we'll get back to that. And when we do, we're going to start to see why Isabel is around, right? I think that there's more to that. I think that she might be sticking around in a larger capacity in the future. Okay. And that's one of the reasons why they're playing it down right now so that they can bring her back. And then, because if you remember back to last season, Felicity showed up a few episodes in, think about 5 or 6 episodes in. And then we didn't see her for a little bit, and then we saw her again. And then we didn't see her for a little bit, and then we saw her again.
Was she a regular cast?
No, she wasn't a regular cast. She wasn't made a series regular until this season.
Okay.
And she didn't really start showing up in almost every episode until
the last half of the season.
Yeah, the last half of the first season. So, Isabel has been a character that she was a strong presence in the first third of the season about. But since they've started to play up the whole Brother Blood angle and the Mirakuru stuff and Roy's story, that corporate story has taken a backseat.
Right.
So I think now that we've resolved a little bit of the stuff with Roy, that we can tell some of those other stories, right? Because now we can start to say, like, next episode we can come back and Roy is starting to get a handle on things. He's not having these outbursts, and we can understand it because now he's been brought in. They've had time to work together and that sort of thing. And there might be a few things here and there so that they can tie it into the Slade story. But as we saw, Slade seems to be under control too, right?
Yeah,
there's a nice synergy there. There always is. So as long as that's going on the island, I think we'll be okay with Roy. So we can do some other stories now, right?
And I guess the business end of things will come back now that Moira's running for mayor.
Yes.
Because people will probably be looking a little bit more closely at Queen Industries.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Thankfully, nobody found out about that prototype earthquake device. Otherwise, I think her bid for the mayoral seat might have been a little bit more difficult. Yeah.
Well,
a factory of them somewhere.
There's a plot device right there. Anytime they need to create a catastrophe, they'll just pull out another one of those devices. Hopefully they won't do that too many times.
I do like the aspect of it that and this is kind of going back to the season finale. You get to the end of Batman Begins, and Ra's al Ghul dies. Spoilers for Batman Begins. Sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. But he dies, so I guess...
Supposedly dies.
Yeah, so I guess they're not going to try anything else in Gotham. Except, they do in the next movie, 2 movies later or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they didn't just get another one of the... Like, just if they had one microwave, poison device plan.
Yep.
Like, why didn't they just do that again?
Villains are like that. It's like the plan, they have this great plan, and it almost works, and then they never try it again.
Yeah.
And that bugged me when I was watching Pinky and the Brain, bugged me, because his plans are awesome, and he came so close so many times, and if he had tried it again, he probably would have done it.
Yeah, you just correct.
Yeah.
Right? You just get course correct.
But no, it's all out the window. Yeah. We've got to try something different.
Cobra would have taken over the world how many times
had
they just been like, you know what? Maybe we don't keep all of the pieces of the weather device in one place until we're ready to launch our plan. It might not be the best idea to keep all three of these isotopes next to each other for G.I. Joe to come in and take. Until we're ready to put our plan into motion.
Yeah, villains are just dumb.
Yeah. Ugh. I just watched G.I. Joe Retaliation last weekend. Not necessarily expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. I really liked it right up until the end. Have you seen it?
Nope.
Okay.
You can spoil it for me because I don't care.
So spoilers for G.I. Joe Retaliation for anybody who hasn't seen it and plans to but hasn't for some reason. It came out like a year ago in the theaters, so... It's on Netflix.
And it's not worth the spoiler
alert. I don't think it's really worth the spoiler alert. Duke dies, first of all.
What?
But which is in keeping with the TV series. But Cobra has this big plan. They've got these satellites that they launch into orbit without anybody knowing about it.
Whoa.
They, instead of launching missiles, okay, they drop these giant tungsten alloy rods, or like super, super heavy rods.
Radiation?
No, like they, no radiation, right? Like this is the whole point, is that it's, Zartan has a great line about it where he says, all of the destruction of a nuclear device with none of the fallout.
Oh.
Right, so like they just drop these things from high orbit, and after the Rock beats the crap out of Firefly and gets the briefcase back that controls the whole thing, because of course if you're gonna have a network of orbital satellites to drop tungsten rods on unsuspecting citizenry, you're gonna tie it all into a very small package that can be easily destroyed. Right.
I'd like download an iPad.
Yeah. And he hits the button to stop it from dropping a thing on somewhere. They blow up London, first of all. One of the best parts of the movie. They destroy London. So in the G.I. Joe movie universe, London doesn't exist anymore. It's been wiped off the map. I think that's the greatest thing ever. Like, they realize that after the first movie, they can do whatever they want. No one's going to stop them. Yeah. Like, they can just make this awesome movie. So cool. I think he's Roadblock. I think The Rock plays Roadblock. I don't know why they didn't just call him The Rock. But
yeah, right.
It would have worked. But, because wasn't there... Sergeant Slaughter was just Sergeant Slaughter. And Sergeant Slaughter was a wrestler.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, like he was a WWF wrestler,
and then
he was also a character on G.I. Joe.
Awesome.
I don't know why The Rock couldn't just be The Rock, but anyways. He deactivates the missile just in time, or the satellite thing just in time. And rather than have this button just deactivate it, right, just like, you know what, we changed our mind. It's a... Yeah, you know what? This was a terrible idea to begin with. Just blow up all the satellites with this one button. I don't know why Cobra Commander would put that in there. Like, that really seems to be his one fault is, like, let's just tie all of our plans to this one big red button.
We've got to have a failsafe.
Yeah. It's like, why? Your whole plan is chaos. You're Cobra Commander. Just be okay with it. Just let it go. Just go with the flow. But anyways... and that is that. That's a tangent, which I think means that we're just about done. So, so we can wrap things up. Thank you guys for listening. You can find us online at quiverpodcast.com. That's our website, our home on the internet. You can send email to us to correct anything that we were egregiously wrong about in this episode. Which is what some of our emails are. A good number of our emails tend to be.
I would be worried if you didn't get those emails.
Yes, yeah. If we didn't, that means that we wouldn't have anybody listening to us, which means that we wouldn't be doing our job. So it's mail@quiverpodcast.com to send in your emails. You can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/quiverpodcast, and on Twitter, @quiverpodcast. You can follow me personally on Twitter @ARKWULF and Curtis.
I have a Twitter also, Curtis Findlay, KURTISFINDLAY. If you got that. I post like inspirational comic related quotes in there.
Okay.
That's all it's usually used for. I don't, it's not that personal, but I do have a comic blog.
Yes.
On Tumblr. Again, it's Curtis Findlay at tumblr.com, and it's called Kids A, and it's a comic strip that I write, that I draw every day, about the things that happened to me with my two kids. I have two boys, 4 and 2, and they're pretty funny, like all kids are. So you can check that out and hopefully find it amusing.
Yeah, it's part of my daily routine, actually. I get up every morning. I go on Facebook before I even get out of bed, as most people do nowadays on our smartphones. And as I scroll through Facebook, so, I mean, sometimes I'll even see the night before because you tend to post them
sometimes
in the
earlier
evening.
Yeah.
But I'll usually see the comic and I'll read it. And then this is how I gauge if I've been on Tumblr too much at work, which I hope none of my I hope my boss isn't listening to this. I'll know that I've been on Tumblr too much, depending on the time of day, if I've scrolled far enough that I'm into last night.
Oh, you see the previous
day. Yeah, because I'll see the comic.
Yeah.
But I'm a very big supporter. I think we've got. Right here, it's a podcast, so this is terrible, but maybe you guys can hear this. That is the sound of the first collected edition.
That's right.
Of your comics, the first year's worth.
Yeah, I printed a whole comics. bunch up with some Kickstarter money, and unfortunately you won't be able to get a copy because I only printed enough to fulfill the rewards.
But we do have the files that if it ever takes off and it becomes a huge thing, that eventually we'll get there.
I'm getting a nice long list of people who, now that they've seen the finished product, are like, oh, I want one of those. So I'm thinking if I can get a sizable amount of people interested in, we can do a second printing soft cover. And cool. I should plug also that Mike did all of my layouts for this book.
Yes.
So he did a great job. It looks beautiful.
It came out pretty good.
It came out great.
Yeah.
So if you, any potential employers out there can definitely give them a little call there.
Yeah, if anybody has books that they want. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed doing this.
Good, yeah. It was a fun experience.
Yeah, it's a cool thing to get to do a larger graphic design project like that. And not quite as finicky as a website. So
right.
What you put on the page is what's on the page. You don't have to worry about people's browsers.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't. The people don't want changes and every couple of months or whatever. So you can see some of the insight on the website as well. But anyway, we're digressing again.
Yeah. So that's it for us this week. Thank you guys for listening.
Especially because this was my first podcast experience.
Oh, yeah. This is your first time on a podcast.
Yeah. So that's cool. This was actually a lot of fun.
Cool.
I had a good time.
Awesome. Well, maybe we'll talk about some podcast experiences in the future.
Yeah.
And we'll have you back on Quiver.
Cool.
So far, we haven't had a guest do two episodes, but we'll get there.
During the break, we can have a little round table with everybody
discussion. It's actually that's one of the plans. I want to get Casey and Brian back in to have a conversation about it. So that's a good idea. Actually, we could do something maybe towards the end of the season. Nice. Sort of talk about the whole season. But I'm running out of friends who watch Arrow. So eventually I'll have to start cycling back through everybody. But thank you guys for listening this week, as always. And we'll catch you next week when Amanda will be back. But until then, would you like to do the honors?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Go ahead.
Stay sharp, Arrowheads. With us?
No, because then I'd make noise.
That's not allowed.
No, well, it's not that it's not allowed. I don't prefer it.
Right. Did you watch it earlier? Do you watch the show at all?
I haven't seen a single episode. Don't tell anyone.
It's recorded here.
Yeah.
But I did meet him.
My wife.
Very pretty.
My wife doesn't watch this show either.
And it's, yeah.
You guys should sit down and watch it and then record episodes.
Like two seasons out? Like,
yeah, not knowing what's going on.
Totally, yeah. Like, wait, who are these people? His name was Ollie, right?
I'm sure. Well, no, you've got an okay comics knowledge now, but what Katie's comics knowledge is pretty good, right?
She doesn't know anything about Green Arrow, but she, I mean, it's
she knows it's about good. The DC good. Universe, yep. though, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she'd be lost.
But she's just too.
Are there other like? There's other characters and stuff yeah. in this thing.
Bronze Tiger.
Like,
showed
it's
up
not
tonight.
Just him shirtless. I'm not interested.
Fair enough. Okay. We're gonna be closed in here. She'll go off to do her own thing. Okay, so.